24/7 Sports Hub Radio. And now, with their always informative and often entertaining take on the sports news of the day, here are Jonathan Ragus and Jim Williams.
Good afternoon and welcome, boys and girls. Yes, it is 24/7 Sports Hub Radio at 1:30. So don't turn us off because we are live. I am your host, Jonathan Ragus. Alongside me, as always, is Jim Sleepy Williams. What's going on, Jim?
Okay, so I overslept, all right? You know, if we were making millions of dollars, you'd fire me right now.
Probably not.
No, you probably would. You probably
would. Yeah, probably.
Yeah, so my apologies for those of you who were jonesing for a 12 to 1 o'clock show. Even though, I'll be honest, I woke up at 12 noon. Because I had NBC Sports Network and I heard the annoying Yahoo Sports Dash open. I'm like,
yeah.
Holy butt. So, but we're here, 1:30 to 2:30, and by the time many of you listen in podcast archive form, it'll be whatever time it is. So let's get going. If you're listening live, and we hope you are. I just said most of you won't be. But if you're listening live, those of you who are around 1:30 to 2:30, we have a couple of ways for you to get in touch with us. First, if you have a Blog Talk Radio account, we have a chat room on the show page. Go to it. Chat with us. We'll read your comments periodically on the air. We also have the means for you to call in and reach out and touch us. And in the case of John, strangle him. Or in the case of me, give me an anti-Tylenol PM pill. I'm not sure what.
Get you a coffee.
I don't do coffee. I do not do coffee.
That's why you were sleeping at noon.
Well, exactly. Well, and plus, you know, forever a college kid, I guess. You can click to Skype until Skype decides to say screw that, which will be in a few weeks, I have a feeling. And you can call in via the good old landline, and, you know, everybody has unlimited long distance, so don't let the area code fool you. It's 347-237-5373. We're talking NFL. We're talking MLB. We're talking Magic Johnson, but let's kind of do things in proper order. Let's go to Thursday night.
As I got to say, and it's not about Magic Johnson's blue thong either. So.
You got it. You just had to.
I had to. Listen, I don't want to scare the listeners off. But as you said,
but you just referenced it, so you.
I had to tell him it wasn't about that.
What? Because is him in a Speedo? He's your main man. Are you trying to tell me something there?
Yeah, Black Cat, MJ, Michael Jordan, my main man. There he is.
There he is.
You can't miss that. Talk about a magic hour. Oh, God.
Magic hour is Ahmad Rashad hour. So, but let's get into Thursday night football's game right here. And guess what? The New York Giants are now 0-6. Yes, they're 0-6. We know Giants fans everywhere are just shaking their head, have their face in the palms of their hands, and really don't know what to do. But for the ones that continue to root for the Giants, that's good. You guys are good fans.
God bless you.
27-21, the Chicago Bears defeated the Giants in Chicago. The Chicago Bears now 4-2. But the big story here is Eli Manning and another three interceptions, Jim.
And he threw the first two interceptions within the first 5 minutes of the football game.
One for a touchdown.
One was a pick six variety, yes. And the last one was on a drive where they were trying to come back and tie or take the lead in the final minutes, and it was picked off on a tipped ball intended for the receiver. That being said, I'm going to give a little devil's advocate here because the Giants kept it together and they actually played, arguably, their best game this season outside of the three picks. Brandon Jacobs went back into the Peabody and Sherman time machine and found something. I'm not sure what. He ran for 106 yards and two touchdowns in a losing effort. But again, you know, it was a very balanced attack, 26 passes, 26 runs. But did they spread the ball around the right way? I mean, you know, Randall caught a touchdown. Nix caught four balls for 70. Cruz caught four balls for 68. The interceptions were the undoing. And it comes off to me, with Eli Manning especially anymore, John, and maybe you'll agree, maybe you'll disagree, that he comes off as a beaten man before he ever takes to the field.
You know what? He's doing things I've seen him do in his first year, and he's doing it so much more now, which is just insane because he's been around for a while now. He's forcing way too many plays. And really, when the offensive line breaks down, he scatters like a scared kid.
Well, you make a very valid point. It harkens back to me, and we talked about this last time out. It's the same problem Drew Brees had a year ago. I mean, he was forcing throws. He was the offense. He tried to do too much. Eli Manning is in that position now because he's trying to...
Yeah, but Eli is just, with every almost every pass he throws, he's just almost about to find an opposing player.
Yeah, I mean, there were so many situations where he was throwing, and there easily could have been another interception or two in that football game. No doubt about it for Chicago. Let's give credit where credit is due with Chicago. They pretty much played a balanced game as well. Jay Cutler, a clean game, completing two-thirds of his 36 attempts, 262 yards and two touchdowns. Matt Forte ran for 67. Brandon Marshall got 9 grabs for 87 yards and 2 touchdowns. You just upset Alshon Jeffrey, only had a 27-yard catch.
Dude, you know what? That catch, though, that Brandon Marshall made in the second, where Jay Cutler just threw it over. I can't remember who it was. I think it was Prince Amukamara, but he jumped so high, Brandon Marshall, and I don't know how he grabbed this and pulled this down. But honestly, it was one of the most amazing catches I've seen this year.
I will call him Prince Iakea because he might as well be in WCW.
Hey, I like Prince Iakea.
You also liked Queewee, so everything's relative.
I also like PN News.
Okay.
Yo, yo, yo.
Yo, 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 dog, 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 yo, dog, dog.
It's just, honestly, I never thought I would look past week 6, because it is past week 6 now for the Giants, and realize that quarterbacks like Jay Cutler, Terrell Pryor, even Geno Smith would be playing better than Eli Manning.
Well, you know, that segues very nicely, because I have pulled up on your behalf, and for Giants fans' behalf, the remainder of the Giants' schedule going forward. Now, this they have a little extra time this week, so that can only help them. Let's look at their schedule. Monday night, the 21st, they host the Vikings. Is that a winnable game?
It honestly all depends. Who's playing? Is it going to be Matt Cassel? Is it going to be Christian Ponder? Is it going to be Josh Freeman? And also now, with the word that we got today, the tragic story, surrounding Adrian Peterson, he most likely won't be playing this game. I mean, that's, you
well,
know.
Well,
what
you mean
reading...
this week as opposed to next week for sure. So,
well,
yeah,
excuse me, this week. So Monday. So he definitely, honestly, with the way everything's going, looks like AP won't even be in this game. And if you haven't heard, tragic news coming out today that Adrian Peterson's 2-year-old son was severely beaten by the mother's boyfriend. Critical condition, and latest word that we got through Deadspin was that his 2-year-old son wasn't expected to survive. So
it's depressing. It's
awful,
downright depressing.
Awful, downright disgusting, depressing news. Our thoughts and prayers are with AP, his family, and of course this little boy. Disgusting.
It,
but
and it's a situation where if I'm not mistaken, he and the mother of the child separated. And the mother has a boyfriend, Joseph Robert Patterson, number 27 years of age. He was the one who charged Patterson with aggravated assault on an infant. It's just disturbing.
It really is. So honestly, with if he's not expected to survive, you know for a fact, of course, AP wouldn't play this game, and nobody blames him. I would be right there with him. So honestly, the Vikings game could be something that the Giants could win. If they don't, to me, the next available game that they could win could be Week 10 against Oakland. After that, I don't see him beating Green Bay. I really don't see him beating Dallas. Possibly Washington. Maybe San Diego. Definitely not Seattle or Detroit, and maybe Washington again. So they only have very few chances to win a game this season.
And they're not definite. They're not stone cold mortal locks, any of them, by any stretch of the imagination. One of my friends, a contributor for CLW83, Tom Delgado, was a big Giants fan. He has the theory that this team will go 0-16. I'm not going to go that far. I think they'll at least get a couple of wins.
They have to get at least one. I don't think the Giants team is necessarily horrible enough to not win any games and go 0-16. If they did, I would be very, very, very shocked. But will they win more than two games? I don't see it. A lot has to happen for this team to win more than two games.
All I got to say is this. If they were to go 0-16... Let's just have a little fun with this concept for a second.
Mm-hmm.
I think MetLife Stadium would burn to the freaking ground.
Well, you know what? It really depends. If they went 0-16, what would the Jets record be? Would the Jets fans keep MetLife Stadium going?
Fireman Ed would still, come back in. So
Nah, who knows with him?
But not good in Giant Land. Not good at all.
It's not. You know, Eli is 123 for 229 right now, 1,700 yards, 9 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. He threw 15 all of last season.
Exactly, and he's on pace for 40. And in matter of fact, the Giants as a whole have turned the ball over, I believe it's 23 times this season, which, you know, has matched again what they did last season. So you could make a case they are arguably the worst team in football. But then the Jaguars would have to have a word with you, and we'll talk about that momentarily when we get to our pick'ems, if you will. So
we'll get there, and we're going to get there right now. But
all right.
You know, for the Giants fans, feel bad for you.
I don't. Sorry.
Well, you're an Eagles fan, so to me.
That's why. Thank you very much.
You know, they got nothing going on with each other. I don't know why they think they do, but they don't. But anyway.
I mean, you're a very valid point. I do feel bad for the hardcore fans who are loyal and true and not fair weather fans.
The realists of the sport, which unfortunately aren't many anymore. Let's start off with the 1 o'clock games on Sunday. Go for it. What are you saying?
Bring it. Let's go.
All right, so the 0-4 Steelers in New Jersey at MetLife Stadium taking on the 3-2, who would have thunk it, New York Jets. Where are you going with this one?
The Steelers, like yours truly, will be oversleeping, and the Jets will win. It should be they should win by two scores.
Well, you know, I'm going to go with the Jets, but we do got a little news. Antonio Cromartie will most likely not play this Sunday. Injured his knee and in practice. MRI negative, so he'll probably sit out this game. So they're going to have their hands full, though, with Antonio Brown and the rest of the Steelers wide receivers. Not worried about the running game. I think the defense can handle Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers. But the question is, will Geno Smith play like he did Monday night in Atlanta against the Falcons? Because they're going to need him to in order to win this game. But I do think the Jets could pull this one out.
Okay.
Cincinnati Bengals headed into Buffalo to take on the 2-3 Bills. Where are you going with this, Jim? Tough one.
Cincinnati's on a high after beating New England and putting them in their place. Taking them off from the ranks of unbeaten. A.J. Manuel showing himself to be a capable quarterback up in upstate New York. But I have a feeling, and I could be completely off on this, I think it's a pick 'em game. I'm going to go with Cincinnati on the road.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Cincinnati as well. They came off a really good game against the New England Patriots. And you know what? That gets your confidence boosted. There's no question about it. No matter what team you are, no matter what's going on with the New England Patriots roster, that gets your confidence going. Andy Dalton and the Bengals needed this. I think they can easily handle the Bills in this game, even though it is in Buffalo.
All right.
Detroit Lions 3-2 taking on the Cleveland Browns 3-2. Who would have thunk that? Question is, Whedon would probably be starting. Who you got?
Yeah. And Whedon starting is the death knell. I mean, he did okay in relief. Maybe that motivates the guy. I don't know. But I just think Detroit. Well, first of all, let me backtrack a second. Is Megatron playing in this game, or is he still out?
They're hoping. So far, it's not set in stone, but it is the Cleveland Browns. Megatron or not, I still think Reggie Bush is going to have a good game on this one. So,
I'm torn because the Cleveland defense is actually very, very good.
It's good. It is good.
I'm going to go with Detroit in a squeaker.
I'm going to go with Detroit as well. If Megatron plays, absolutely Detroit. Without Megatron, like you said, it's a throw-up. It's going to be a squeaker. We'll see what happens.
We will see, yes.
Terrell Pryor and the Oakland Raiders heading to, Kansas City to take on Andy Reid and his 5-0 Chiefs. Andy, who you got?
I'm not going to be like Pete Rose. I'm not going to bet against my team. that would not be good for business. wouldn't be a prudent thing. I'm going to, of course, pick Alex Smith. And of course, Alex Smith was led by the greatest quarterback in the history of the Eagles, our quarterback's coach, Doug Pederson. Chiefs win, time shorts, and so is the omelet. I'm going with Kansas City.
Go with Kansas City as well. So far, these are some fairly easy games, but we'll see what happens.
So far, that'll change.
Yeah, there's a lot of upsets usually. I mean, we saw a bunch last week, so that was
fun.
Right. All right, the 1-3 Carolina Panthers taking on the 1-3 Minnesota Vikings. And as we said, Castle will be starting this game. Adrian Peterson will not be at this game, at least from what it's looking like right now. But is Matt Castle and the Vikings enough to take on Cam Newton and the Panthers?
Based on what he did in London, and I know it's a small sample size, my inclination is yes. Carolina is an absolute mess this year.
Great.
They are, you know, the fact they have one win is almost miraculous when you get right down to it. I think Minnesota wins this game with or without Adrian Peterson. I think Matt Castle proves he should be the man starting in Minnesota.
Agree. Yeah, Minnesota's going to win this game. It doesn't matter if they have AP or not. As you said, the Panthers are just bad.
Well, the defense is horrible. Cam Newton is, you know,
he's terrible.
He's become the definition of a prima donna.
Yeah.
He absolutely has been.
Oh, no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt about it. All right, Jim, you are Philadelphia Eagles 2-3 heading down to Tampa Bay to take on Darrelle Revis and the Buccaneers.
Will the real Tampa Bay offense please stand up? Oh, wait, they're not even in the stadium. Well, what a shame. I have to pick Philadelphia here, and not because of Homer pick. I just don't see how Tampa Bay can muster anything offensively. Their defense is going to be okay and try to keep the game honest, but the Eagles will get to it with the explosive play. The Eagles are a big play offense. They get the big play, and they'll beat them. Philadelphia should win this one probably by 10 points.
Agree. I think Philadelphia should easily win this game, even though they have the line by one.
That's a ludicrous line.
Very,
it's
very
ludicrous.
You know what? That's the Buccaneers getting the
whole
advantage. So.
It's the new sombrero. Come on now.
Absolutely. Philadelphia wins this game easily.
All right.
Green Bay Packers 2-2 taking on the 3-2 Super Bowl defending champions, Baltimore Ravens.
They aren't who we thought they were, the Ravens.
Neither were the Packers, though.
Yeah, but again, Aaron Rodgers, he's got too many weapons offensively to throw to.
Great.
I'm going to go with Green Bay.
Yeah, I'm going with Green Bay as well. They looked really good last week. I liked that Aaron Rodgers.
And they're getting the running game going. Eddie Lacy is proving himself.
That's what helps them is getting that running game open. With Eddie Lacy, James Starks, they need these guys to run consistently. If they do, there's just an offense that's going to be reckoned with. So, yeah, I think Green Bay could win this game in Baltimore. I don't think it'll be by a couple of touchdowns. I think it'll be probably by a field goal, maybe a touchdown. But, yes, Green Bay.
And they got Mason Crosby, who's a great kicker, so there we go.
Absolutely. But, you know, Ravens got, what's his name, Justin Tucker, right?
No, yeah, they're both solid kickers.
Yeah, they're both All right, the 2-3 St. Louis Rams heading down to Houston to take on the Texans, who also 2-3. Where you got this one?
This is a tougher game than you may think on the surface, because Matt Schaub is still going to be the starting quarterback, but you wonder how much of a hook will be on him. If he throws like two first half interceptions, will he be replaced in the second half? Yeah. Reluctantly, I'm going to go with Houston because St. Louis hasn't proven a thing to me, really.
You know, I'm going with Houston as well. I think this should be a game that they should be able to win, but
how many times this season have we said, well, Houston should win this game, and they completely fall on their faces?
It's been a lot. It has been a lot. But here's my question to you. Mm-hmm. Who is the backup quarterback?
Is it T.J. Yates, question mark? I mean, he was the guy they brought in.
I know they had Case Keenum down there, but is T.J.
Yates? It's T.J.
Yates.
It's Yates.
Okay.
So
I don't know who's the better of the two right now, to be honest. But
neither would set the world on fire, in my humble opinion. So pick your poison.
Pick your poison. All right, here we go. Now the line is by 26 right now.
It went down.
I think it should go higher, but the 0-5 Jacksonville Jaguars taking on Peyton Manning and the perfect Denver Broncos. No brainer of a game, Jim.
Now, do you want me to give the answer in terms of who's going to win or the line?
I want you to give me the answer that you're not a Jaguars fan and you're going to pick the appropriate team here.
Jaguars fans, they exist. Now, Denver's going to win this game. But before we go further with the picks, this is a good place to slot in the story about how Peyton Manning was prompted at a presser, I think it was yesterday, to give his honest reaction on facing a team like the Jaguars, and he was reaching for compliments with a crap-eating grin on his face. And God bless Peyton, because you know deep down he's saying, this team is freaking awful.
Yeah, but you know what? It shows how classy he is, too, because a lot of other players would take a nice pot shot at the Jaguars.
Well,
but you know what? Peyton Manning sees that they're suffering enough.
And he's been there before when he first broke into the league with the Colts. He was in that kind of a situation, not nearly as bad as it is there.
Yes.
But he knows he was once that bad. He was once that bad. So he can relate. That and plus, if you take pot shots, it's like giving them ammunition. You don't want to give them any sort of ammunition, per se.
Yeah, well, now they're sitting there going, whoa, Peyton says we're good?
Oh, well, yeah, but...
I guess we can't play as hard now, but...
Denver wins this one. It is what the kids call a bottle stomp.
Yeah. You know what? Let's, you know, I'm going to throw out the quote here from Peyton Manning because I find it still
funny.
Right. Here is the quote from Peyton Manning. We're playing a good NFL football team. I don't look at anything besides what I see on the tape, on defense, and I see a team that's stingy in the red zone. I see some offenses that have made some really good plays against them that have been hard to defend. Certainly, you know, it's a team with a lot of pride, end quote. I honestly haven't seen any pride on this Jaguars team this season.
They are stingy and stingy. Yes.
Did I say stingy? Stingy. There you go.
He said stingy. Well, they were all hit by an apiary of bees. That's entirely possible.
Yes, my reading today is as poor as the Jacksonville Jaguars
it's
team.
It's as poor as my sleep habit, so there you go.
There you go.
But no. I mean,
prepared at 12. So.
Well, I was a horrible display. It's a shame it happened. I apologize.
You were in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood at 12.
Hey, don't hate on Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. Now, the new version with the Daniel Tiger, that's just, no.
Hey, no. I think it's good, though, man.
It's cute, but...
Fred Rogers, man, you got to have something, man.
Oh, come on. The man was a pimp. The cardigan sweater? Come on, man.
The legend.
He is the real. And the trolley.
Yeah, we missed him taking off his shoes and throwing him in here, but...
And you had a thing for Lady Elaine, but there you go.
There you go. All right, 3-2 Tennessee Titans taking on the 4-1 Seattle Seahawks. Where are you going with this one?
Where's this game being played, Jonathan?
Seattle has the line by 14.
I'm surprised it's that low. Seattle wins this one easily.
All right. I got Seattle as well. Although Russell Wilson's really not doing anything to...
He doesn't need to in this one. He doesn't need to. Give it to Marshawn Lynch and pound.
If Jake Luger was in, I think it would be a little tougher on the Seattle Seahawks. But with Ryan Fitzpatrick, they're going to easily catch about 5 interceptions. So.
Minimum. Yeah.
Easily. All right, the 5-0 New Orleans Saints go into Foxborough to take on a 4-1 New England Patriots. Good game here. Who you got?
Well, first of all, the big story in this game, the return of the man.
Well, now they're saying he's not returning.
He's still not cleared?
Gronkowski has not cleared the play this weekend is what's being said right now.
Really? I see that now. Ooh, yes. Ooh.
Hurt. But you know what? Even if he was cleared, I don't think he would necessarily make an impact right away. He's been out for a long time.
He was out for a while, but, you know, it's like riding a bicycle.
Players. I think.
Well, I was going to say, if Gronk plays, I think New England wins this game. If he does, okay, so I'm going to have to make a qualified pick here.
How about that?
I hope you don't mind.
Go for it.
If Gronk plays, New England wins. If Gronk does not play, I'll go with New Orleans.
Okay, so here we go. I'm going to write you down New England with Gronk.
New Orleans without Gronk. Because I honestly believe he will be... Because think about it. He will be the number 1, 2, and 3 wide receivers combined for that team.
But even so, man, it's...
And I'm not hating on the New Orleans defense.
Three touchdown passes to Gronkowski, but this New England Patriots defense, it really doesn't leave anything to be desired, as we've seen from last game with the Cincinnati Bengals, and even that win against the Jets, which, you know, that was the Jets game that they lost, so...
Yeah, okay. I'm going to
weapons to cover by New Orleans. I think the New Orleans offense could win this game. So, to me, it's going to come down to Patriots offense, New Orleans offense.
Mm-hmm.
So, now, I'm going to pick New Orleans.
Yeah, I'm going to stick to the qualified pick. If Gronk starts in this game and plays, he will be a difference maker for New England. Otherwise, I'm with you. So,
well, we'll see what happens. All right, Arizona Cardinals 3-2 heading to San Francisco to take on the 3-2 49ers. And will the real Kaepernick please stand up?
He won't. But this is going to be a closer game than people think. I really believe it is because Arizona's coached up pretty well. I just think San Francisco's defense is too much. I give the 49ers a win, but it won't be pretty.
I give the 49ers a win here as well. Carson Palmer really started off the year really good. Really not that good as of late. 5 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. Kaepernick, though, He's not throwing many interceptions. Why? Because he's really not throwing the ball as much, so that's really downflating his stats there. But
they are relying on the run game there.
Big time. I really got to say, though, that against this Arizona Cardinals defense, if Frank Gore could have a big game, you know, Kendall Hunter can chip in. You know Kaepernick's going to hit Bolden a few times. I think this is a game that they could easily win. So
absolutely.
All right, Washington Redskins 1-3 in Dallas, taking on Tony Romo, and hopefully he doesn't choke for his fans' sake, and the Cowboys. Where you got this one?
This may be your stone-cold mortal lock of the week. Dallas will run away with this one. There is no way that they – Tony Romo can choke two or three times in the game, and they'll still win by a touchdown.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see what happens. All right, Monday Night Football?
Monday night.
4-1 Indianapolis Colts taking on the 2-3 San Diego Chargers in San Diego. Don't know how, but San Diego, once again, homecoming here, has the line by 3.
San Diego's Jekyll and Hyde this year. They've shown flashes of brilliance, and then they've shown vintage San Diego Superchargers. I got to go with first Monday night game, by the way, in the young career of Andrew Luck. And I'm going to go with Mr. Monday Night Andrew Luck to win this one for the Colts.
Agreed. I think this is Indianapolis' game to win. But you know what? I got to give so many props to Phillip Rivers, man. He is just having a great,
season. But a lot of his greatness is in garbage time, come from behind.
You know what? It doesn't matter. Even so, he's still 140 of 190 on the season.
All right. I'll give you that.
It's 1,600 yards, 13 touchdowns, but he's not throwing interceptions, which is the case of Phillip Rivers. He's only got 5 this year.
Dude's on my fantasy team. I'm not disagreeing with you.
He's been very, very good. Honestly, to me, if the San Diego Chargers had one more offensive weapon and one more running back that could actually give them some yards in the back end, you know, Malcolm Floyd, big, big loss for Phillip Rivers and the Chargers.
Oh, yeah.
If they could have, let's say, a Brandon Marshall on this team who's going up and just grabbing, you know, balls out of the air like it's nothing this season, who knows what this San Diego Chargers could be doing offensively, because so far, you know, before Malcolm Floyd, they were having a good season. Without Malcolm Floyd now, you know, him and Danny Woodhead, he's a...
Well, yeah, that and the running game. Running game leaves something to be desired. Ryan Matthews only had one decent game this year, I do believe.
No touchdowns on the year, 234, 67 carries.
Yeah, it's...
So
we technically agree on all the games if Gronk doesn't show up.
It's looking that way. Yeah, it's honestly, yeah, because it seems pretty, pretty easy here in week 6. But you know what?
Which means we'll all go 4-12 or whatever, 4-10.
Or, you know, we can go perfect except for you because you got that Gronk situation going.
Well, again, I really believe that Brady's going to rely on him. I know it sounds
stupid.
He's going to
rely on him, but I don't know how much of a difference maker he's going to be against such a very good... If New England was playing a different team,
yes,
I'd probably go Patriots all the way, but the Saints are just hot right now.
Oh, they absolutely are.
You know, not offensively, but they're playing some good defense as well. So
I'll also say this. If they were playing in New Orleans, I would go in New Orleans no matter what. There's something about the mystique about playing in Foxborough. Yes, teams can beat them.
Well, remember, we got a big, big storm hitting the East Coast this weekend.
Yeah, well, it hasn't hit here, okay? It hasn't hit here.
It's the rain bowl right now. They're not.
All right.
Instead, Jets gave them that win in week 2, or week 3, whichever it was, and they couldn't do anything against Cincinnati in that downpour in Cincinnati.
Okay. All right.
Well, you know what? You got to put the rain as a factor. I still think New Orleans can win this game. So.
That's it. I'm going to weather.com. Let's just get this over with here. Let's get the forecast. Jim Cantore on the scene.
Get Al Roker.
Oh, he'll blow away. Oh, wait. No, he's thin again. No. Just like I miss Fat Drew Carey, I miss Fat Al Roker.
You know, he doesn't look right to me.
He looks disproportionate. It's very... very depressing. Okay, so...
dropped all that weight. His head would just be super huge still and not look right. I don't know.
So he's a super huge guy. According to weather.com, the forecast for Foxborough, Massachusetts on Sunday, mostly sunshine, temperatures in the upper 50s. So, nougats to you and your rain, okay?
Oh, man.
Who are you getting your weather from? Who are you getting your weather from? Hurricane Schwartz?
Nah, but although I do like his bow tie.
Hey. Chicks dig the bow tie.
Absolutely. Let's talk about this. Something you sent me early this morning. Brandon Marshall wore green cleats last night, and, you know, he went against the protocol. Yes, I'm saying the protocol of the NFL by wearing these green cleats, which means he will most likely be fined. Brandon Marshall is going to come out if he gets fined and will match the NFL fine with a donation to charity. And it was because of Mental Health Awareness Week. Let us know what's going on here, Jim.
Yeah, Mental Health Awareness Week, and it's something that kind of hits close to home where I have two special needs brothers who are autistic.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, okay? Let's have a little talk-see here. Okay, the NFL can pick and choose what they want to support. Everybody and their sister wears pink for the month of October. That's fine. Guy wants to do something and it's Nike-branded shoes. It's one thing if it was a question of who the maker of the shoe was, I guess. But these are the same brand here of shoes and wants to do a good cause and promote a good cause. So the NFL says, NIMBY, not in my backyard, you're not. It pisses me off beyond belief. I'm sorry. It pisses me off beyond belief when the dictatorship of professional sports leagues and the business aspect just, you know what, he shouldn't be fined. He should appeal the fine, really, when you get right down to it.
But I'm
glad he's going to donate, match it and double, you know, donate money to a good cause.
Well, you know what, I got to cut you off here, because here's what pisses me off. This is what grinds my gears.
Okay, about, Peter Griffin.
About sports, exactly. This is what grinds my gears. I support people looking out and, you know, want to do charities and, you know, raising awareness for breast cancer. I really do.
Same,
but what bothers me is that they only focus on breast cancer. There are so many other diseases out there.
Colon cancer?
Colon cancer.
Prostate cancer? Especially considering most of the people who watch NFL football are, wait for it, men.
There you go. But you know what? Listen, it's not the only disease. In professional sports, it seems that breast cancer is the only disease. Now,
yeah.
Why can't we have a Mental Health Awareness Week? Why can't we have a week where we're wearing blue for a different disease? Why can't we have a week where we're wearing red for a different disease? Why can't we raise awareness and you know, donate to charities on a weekly basis to focus on all of these different illnesses?
Yeah, well, breast cancer awareness gets a month, seemingly.
But that's what I'm saying.
Well,
why?
It's all about marketability, because if you, because at some point they have to draw the line, okay? Diabetes, AIDS, Tourette's, it's Tourette's month in the NFL. Let's have a Tourette's guy in the broadcast booth. They're going to have to draw the line somewhere, and somebody's going to get pissed off in the end. And I get that. But you're absolutely right. They should be doing more, you know, to spread awareness and different things. I'd love for them to do something for autism, personally.
Absolutely.
An autism awareness thing.
You know, Autism Speaks? I mean, come on.
Okay, and that's a big company. That's
absolutely
every bit as big as in the last 5-10 years as any other organization that's charitable. I'm not trying to knock
everyone. Now, in 2013, I mean, years and years and years ago, you didn't hear as much about autism. Now, it's just coming out everywhere.
Yeah, and let me also say this much about that. It's not because it's growing rampant, it's better detection, it's better diagnosis.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's better understanding, because people are thinking, oh, it's an epidemic. No, it's just
we're actually
treating the damn thing for once.
Because now, you know, years ago when they would say, no, you know, this kid has, you know, a different mental health issue, or
they would say the kid's retarded back in the day. They would say the kid's retarded, put him in an Attica situation, and he'd be in a padded cell rocking back and forth on the floor. I've seen the video from years gone by, and it disgusts me.
Yeah.
Great. Now you got group homes. Now you've got, you know, aides who are specialized for this kind of thing. But let's go back to the central point about the uniform thing, because in baseball recently, and you'll vouch in a moment on something from your end, from your neck of the woods, in Washington, after the horrific Navy Yard bombing, just a few blocks away from Nationals Park in D.C., the Nationals wanted to show their support, so they got a bunch of caps from the Navy. And they were going to wear them during the game. They were trying to talk to Major League Baseball, let us wear this during the game to show our support. Because they ended up taking that day off, obviously, because how could they, in good faith, play baseball just a few blocks away from a horrific, tragic occurrence?
Yeah.
Well, Major League Baseball said, okay, you can wear the Navy caps pregame, but once it's first pitch, you've got to put those curly W's on. It disgusts me because it's a business. It pisses me off beyond belief because it's a business. Because New Era, these aren't New Era caps that we paid for the licensing for. These aren't our caps. These are other people's caps, and you can vouch for this as well with the 9/11 stuff in New York.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, when you know, the 10th anniversary. Once again, I hate calling it the anniversary, whatever. But 10th anniversary of 9/11, when the Mets wanted to wear their NYPD and FDNY hats, the league had something to say about it. No, you can't wear them because guess what? They're not New Era, and we have a contract with them. We have to wear their hats. Well, Mets said, guess what? You're going to have to find us as an organization then. The fans heard about it. They spoke up. They attacked MLB. And guess what? They allowed them to wear the hats. And guess what? They didn't lose any money. It was no problem for the Mets to wear those hats. Come well, the hell on.
Well, isn't it funny, though? Isn't it funny that, you know, it takes an uprising for something positive to happen? And you mentioned that...
All about the dollar bill, Jim.
Well, exactly. And you mentioned it's not as if New Era... where Major League Baseball is losing money. If anything, they're getting great publicity out of this. They're getting free publicity, and I know publicity is the least of all important things.
Yes.
But it shows that they care, that baseball cares, and it shows that a player in the NFL cares. Remember, this is a no-fun league. We're not allowed to celebrate touchdowns. We're not to be allowed to embrace individuality. And no, I haven't been watching too many XFL episodes and games on YouTube, but, you know... When everybody says it's the no fun league, there's some truth to that, and there's it's the no individual league. You have to go and I understand you have to have a code in place,
which
and
is fine.
I'm sure Brandon Marshall went to the legal offices to see if he could approve of this. I have to believe he had to, and
even if he didn't, he has an agent that I'm sure did.
Sure, exactly.
He has a publicist that could have done it.
You know,
he's got a lot of people working for him that could have done it. So.
And considering what he's going to be fined, which is probably pennies on the dollar, and the fact that he's going to donate every bit of that back to charity, it's worth it. It's absolutely worth it. So good for Brandon Marshall.
You know, but that's the thing they should have in place. They should have a thing in place to say, well, listen, if you want to do something special as an individual or as a team, you need to tell us a week beforehand. But guess what? Things happen, like the Navy Yard shooting, where you don't want to give it a week because you want to show the respect to the families of the people that are lost, to the people of your home state and that county and that town or whatnot, and you want to do it that next day. There should be some kind of protocol in place that would allow these teams to do that without a hassle, without, you know, these leagues consistently coming out into the press looking like complete morons, because guess what? In this case, once again, the NFL looks like a moron.
That's been kind of their MO the last few years under Goodell, so it's par for the course.
Oh, yeah. Sticking with the NFL, cameras are now setting up at the Minnesota Vikings practice facility at around 10:30 a.m. Pacific time. Adrian Peterson is expected to address the media at the team facilities, of course, following today's tragedy involving his two-year-old son. So if you want to look at that, I know for a fact they do have it live on, yes, on TMZ.com, because once again, TMZ.com breaking sports news before anybody else does. So
yeah, and that just shows you, you know, yeah, they have a lot of schlock on TMZ, but when they come to the breaking news stuff,
they're
unbelievably over. They're actually on the money more often than the big boys. So
they're all over it.
I'm a lawyer. Oh, I'm sorry, I had to say that.
All right, Jim, we have some games to recap from the MLB playoffs, starting with Wednesday's St. Louis Cardinals Pittsburgh Pirates game.
Well,
break it down.
Well, meet me in St. Louis, gosh darn it. Yes, I'm going to bring every horrible 30s reference. It was a do-or-die game 5 between the Cardinals and the Pirates, and it was pretty much over before it began because the Cardinals took game 5 6-1. Big home run, or big, rather, eighth inning sealed the deal to make it 6-1 in favor of the Cardinals. One second, I've got my notes here. I should really have these up from advance, don't I? Let's see. Okay, here we go. Game 5, it was Gerrit Cole. He surrendered a 2-run home run to David Freese. It proved to be Cole's lone mistake of the night, and that proved to be too much. The Cards got insurance. 2-run home run from Matt Adams in a 3-run eighth inning. Adam Wainwright went the distance. 6-1. St. Louis wins. They face the Dodgers tonight in the NLCS. We'll talk about that in a moment, but first we go to last night's big Game 5. Justin Verlander has that ball of status, as the kids say. Do the kids even
Amazing.
Say that? I don't know.
Probably not, but...
Probably not, and especially since I said it, you damn sure know that.
Yeah.
But the Tigers and the Athletics in Oakland, and I'm telling you from honest to goodness, the A's were screwed from Jump Street when they announced who their Game 5 starter was. They had both... Go ahead.
Did not understand that one freaking bit.
We had a debate during the podcast recording. I recorded Touch 'Em All late last night.
Yeah.
It'll be up on CLW83.com over the weekend, so give a listen. And they could have went with Bartolo Colon, and yes, he got shell-shocked early on in Game 1 when he pitched. But they went with rookie Sonny Gray, who, yes, had a phenomenal season in the 70-some-odd innings he pitched, a short season, shall we say, when he got called up.
Yeah.
And he did enough to keep the team in the game. But when you're going to rely on a rookie to lead your team in a do-or-die game, bad things happen.
You know, especially when you're putting a rookie up against Justin Verlander. And I could care less about the season Justin Verlander had. You and I discussed this, Jim. It's Justin Verlander. When it comes to the playoffs, I don't think there's another pitcher that is as explosive or as dynamic as Justin Verlander in the playoffs right now.
Well, his teammate Max Scherzer may have something to say
to
you.
For this season, I'm talking about of playoffs past.
Currently.
Yeah.
I got you.
Yes.
Well, the Tigers, thanks to Verlander going and retiring the first 15 batters in a row he faced and taking
amazing.
A no-hitter deep into the seventh inning.
Amazing.
Amazing stuff. Almost historic-making stuff. The Tigers took control of things. 3-0 they won to win the series. 3-2. They faced the Boston Red Sox over the weekend. So let's pan this out for you here, ladies and gentlemen.
You know what? Before you do that, did you see Victor Martinez's son in the locker room spraying champagne on everybody?
I did not, and I'm
sure. He used to be under 10 years old, and it was the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Father of the year.
Hey, he wasn't drinking it. He was spraying. He was celebrating.
He was helping to pop the bottle. It's okay.
Hey, I'm sorry, man, but if we had that kind of a childhood where we were celebrating with the Detroit Tigers and spraying stuff, that was fun, man.
Okay, fair enough. There you go. The NLCS, we'll start with that because that starts immediately here. It is, remember, the league championship series in the semi-game format, 2-3-2. The home team gets the first two and last two. Game one is Eastern on TBS, very funny. Zach Greinke goes to the mound for the Dodgers. He is opposed, yes, I got to say it in the Vin Scully voice, I don't care, folks. He is opposed by Joe Kelly, who is making, exactly.
Who?
Joe Kelly.
Who?
Who? His second postseason start. Who?
What are you, an elf?
Well, and it all comes back to the 100-acre woods, ladies and gentlemen. Game two of the series will be on Saturday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon for you kids who love the afternoon baseball. And then they take a day off, go to Dodger Town on the 14th, 15th, and 16th, if necessary, the 16th, a 4 o'clock game for game five. And then game six and seven would be next Friday and next Saturday back in St. Louis. So a seven-game series, Dodgers and Cardinals. John, who you got?
Dodgers or Cardinals? To me, it's not even a thought. I got to go with the Dodgers.
Okay, and how many?
I say five.
Ooh.
Yeah, I just think the Dodgers are just one of the hottest teams going right now, and they're just playing phenomenal baseball. I think the Cardinals are a very, very good team. You know what? But once again, I just don't think the Cardinals can, handle what the Dodgers have. So, yeah, I'm going to pick the Dodgers in five.
Since current ownership has taken over the Cardinals, they have won something to the tune of 60 postseason games since the mid-90s, which is second only to the New York Yankees in all of baseball.
Yeah.
Kind of impressive stuff when you think about it.
Absolutely.
And historically, and a lot of people are disliking the Cardinals because they are the National League's answer to the Yankees historically, quite frankly. And they've had a lot of recent success. The Dodgers are the team of destiny, quite frankly, perhaps in all of baseball right now. They have had an unbelievable run since Yasiel Puig came up.
Yeah.
And Puig is going to be the factor in one respect, but you look at the starting rotation. Clayton Kershaw, Zach Greinke is going to have a lights-out performance, I have a feeling, tonight.
I think so.
I'm going with the Dodgers. I'm going to be a little more conservative. Dodgers in six. They clinch in St. Louis, and they will look to find something to celebrate on in St. Louis. They don't have a pool there, but they'll figure something out. But I think the Dodgers win. And
they have a cesspool.
Let's not kid ourselves. The biggest story, if that happens, an 85-year-old man's going to call one more World Series, which is awesome. So.
Vin Scully.
But who would the Dodgers face? Well, Detroit or Boston. Anibal Sanchez, who got rocked in his division series appearance, will be on the mound Saturday night. He is opposed by John Lester in Game 1. The ALCS is on Fox, which means Tim McCarver, Joe Buck, and... Well, it's either that or the scintillation that is Craig Sager on TBS. So pick your poison, kids. It's a series that starts over the weekend, Game 1 Saturday, Game Sunday, both 8 o'clock games in Boston. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, they're in Detroit. The Wednesday, the Tuesday game, rather, is a 4 p.m. game. Interesting. The 8 p.m. games Wednesday, Thursday, if necessary, and then Games 6 and 7 next weekend, the 19th and 20th, if necessary, in Boston, with the Saturday game being an afternoon game, if necessary. So, Detroit-Boston, I'll say this. When we got to the recording of when we did the podcast recording, and we looked at this series, we all pretty much agreed on one thing about this series. We'll see if you take the same take here. Who do you like and how many?
This is tough. You know, these are two really good teams, really good pitching matchups all around going around. I do have to say, though, is Verlander going to be as good as he was yesterday? Who knows? Is Max Scherzer going to continue being the hottest pitcher going right now in baseball? Who knows? What will the Red Sox get from John Lester? What would they get from John Lackey? Once again, who knows? I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say the Red Sox in seven.
That is the exact pick I made on the podcast, and I will be consistent. Boston in seven. This is going to be a classic series. I think you're going to see multiple walk-off wins in this series. I really believe you are. The big factor to me isn't even the pitching, because you know it's going to be there for both squads.
Hopefully.
Miguel Cabrera is dinged up right now for Detroit. If you can't get a 100% Miguel Cabrera in that lineup, Detroit, it falls off the table from there. Mm-hmm. Yes, I know they've got Prince Fielder. Yes, I know they've got various other weapons, Martinez and so on and so forth. But Miguel Cabrera is the centerpiece. He is the crown jewel offensively of this team. And if he's at less than 100%, you know it's going to affect the fielding. You know it's going to affect the hitting. And that's going to be a factor. I think he'll gut it out. I think he'll play every game of the series in as many innings as he can. But I think Boston wins it at home in seven, and it sets up a unique occurrence. We always, when you hear Boston and Los Angeles for a world championship, you think basketball. You're going to have to start thinking baseball in a week or so, because I think you're spot on. It's a Boston-LA World Series, and that will be a lot of fun.
It's going to be a good one, let me tell you. That's for sure.
I think it puts butts in the seats. I really think it puts butts in the seats.
Yeah. Got a couple of updates here on the Adrian Peterson story. Real sad stuff. Peterson's son is currently on life support and hasn't had brain activity since 5:30 p.m. yesterday. Being told that the family is monitoring the situation closely, and if there is no improvement within 24 hours, that the mother wants to remove life support and donate the boy's organs to people in need. According to TMZ. Also, as we said before, Adrian Peterson was going to address people at the practice facility in Minnesota. And he did, saying he's thanking everyone for their support in the wake of this terrible tragedy. He will be playing on Sunday.
So shut up, fantasy owners. And I'm sorry, I had to go there for a second, because you know there's a certain segment of the fandoms, and we talk about fanatics who just don't get it on Wednesday's show. You know there's a certain segment of the population, all they care about is, oh, is he going to start on Sunday for my team? He's going to ruin my team.
Yeah.
Real life, people. Real freaking life. Get over it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It just...
Honestly, don't know how he could play, but...
I don't know how he could either.
I couldn't, but...
The only angle I can say that might be is, you know, and I had this occurrence when a grandmother of mine died. I buried myself in work to keep things off my mind. That's the only logical thing I can think of.
That's a possibility.
Nobody would be upset. Nobody who had half a brain would be upset in the least if he did not play on Sunday, given everything, the traumatic experiences he's gone
agree.
Through in the last 24 to 36 hours. It's just, you know, again, that's anybody with half a brain, not the uber fantasy nuts who are, I'm sorry, those people just rub me the wrong way. I'm sorry for getting too overboard with that, perhaps, but
absolutely.
It had to be said.
Keeping with the NFL news real quick here, Mercer is going around to Tampa Bay Buccaneers locker room.
Were they swimming with the Ray tank or something?
I don't know, but kicker Lawrence Tynes and guard Cole Nicks were
diagnosed.
Wrong
Tampa. I'm sorry. Okay.
They were previously diagnosed with MRSA, and now a third player has been diagnosed, and the team is not revealing the player's identity.
This is a story that's going on. This is a story that's going on for several months, correct?
Actually, for the last couple of weeks, from my note, but I could have swore that they had that in Tampa Bay last season, but
yeah,
I could be wrong.
That's what I'm remembering. Yeah. Don't they have the means to whitewash everything? Don't they have the finances to eradicate any germs and what have you?
Probably they did, but it's now in the contract of Darrell Revis. So.
Or maybe it's in the contract of the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum people, which means sewage and septic backups and what. It makes you wonder about the stability of the stadium. I mean, if you've got people who are being sick, and they're obviously sick at the complex contracting MRSA, you wonder about the safety and the well-being of the people who are in that stadium, not just players, but staff.
Yeah.
Because anybody could pick this up. It's MRSA's serious business, so.
A few shows ago.
Yes.
We discussed the Pittsburgh Steelers banning ping pong and pool in their locker room to rookies.
Forrest Gump did not approve of this, but continue.
He didn't. But now Coach Mike Tomlin is coming out and saying he has banned all games in the locker room after the team's 0-4 start, extending a prohibition that had applied to only players with less than 4 years of experience. And Tomlin says it divided the team in a way since one set of people couldn't do a certain thing. Excuse me, this is Ryan Clark is saying this, free safety Ryan Clark. Mike Tomlin just wanted everybody to be together because we are all in the losses together. We are all in the business of fixing this problem together, and we didn't want anything to divide us, end quote. It's ping pong and pool. I mean, seriously, if ping pong and pool is taking over an NFL team from winning a game, there's something bigger going on in my eyes. But
Mike Tomlin better just start looking for a job at this point because he's lost the team. And when you lose the team, they don't give a damn what you say. He's grasping at straws to try to motivate a team. He is absolutely throwing spitballs at the wall to see what sticks. And guess what? It's all falling off the wall. It's not sticking.
I mean, look, like you said, grasping for something, grasping for straws, whatever it is, he's banning ping pong and pool. Seriously? Come on, man. You're a professional football team.
This is primetime television, folks, in the words of Jessica Savage. This is just stupid.
I mean, honestly, to me, I would take the ban off of the four-year players and say, listen, everybody's got to play together and everybody's got to be a team.
Yes, exactly.
You know, banning it, I don't think is a good move. I honestly think it's a bad move, but that's just me.
Well, you're right. In fact, you always see about in hockey, especially, teams that go on the West Coast who are East Coast teams. I know the Flyers have done this in the past when they've had long West Coast trips. Don't know if the Rangers do this, but they have sort of team-building things that go on.
Yeah.
While they're on the
lots
West Coast.
Do. Oh, yeah, lots of teams do.
Sure. And this is not building a team. This is ripping them further apart at the seams. So it's just so...
I guess we're wrong, though, because over on ESPN, 38,776 votes to the question of what do you make of Mike Tomlin banning games in the Steelers locker room? 85% said good move, 15% said bad move. But then, once again, it's ESPN. So.
It's Sports Nation. It hasn't been the same since Beetle left. And she may be coming back, so we'll hope for the best there because I love me some Beats.
I was going to say, you're definitely hoping for that.
She's my main girl.
So it looks like Gronk will not be playing. So.
All right, you know what then? All right. I'll make it easy for you, okay? I'll make it easy for you if Gronk's not playing. You know what? Even if he is, I'll make it easy for you. New Orleans wins, okay? I'm going to make that official.
I'm going to make that note here for you. All right.
Okay, just take off the New England.
I did.
New Orleans.
I did. I made the note.
I'm making it easy because I know you don't like complex things, John. Okay.
How'd you know?
Well, my sources tell me.
Well, we'll see what happens.
I have sources.
No, you don't.
You're right, I don't.
Let's get up with this now. Magic Johnson has left ESPN as a commentator. Why? Because of Bill Simmons. At least that's what Deadspin is reporting. Sources tell Deadspin that Johnson's departure was the result of an old-fashioned power war with, of course, the winner being Bill Simmons. The one source said it is now Simmons' show.
Well, keep in mind they've made a couple of additions to the studio in the off season.
Yes.
Doris Burke, who when she doesn't flub up something on the sideline and curse, is actually very competent, very good. You know her from all the years at MSG.
Of
she does
course.
A great job. She's the first, you know, to do analysis, the first female to do analysis of NBA games, and she does it better than most men. Let's keep it real.
No, I agree.
She's probably going to be in the host role now because Wilbon's gone, more or less.
Thankfully.
Wilbon's your main man. Deep
no, he's really not. Not a Wilbon guy, never was.
You're a Kornheiser guy, then.
Too much of a crybaby.
Okay, fair enough. And they also added the bigger acquisition is Doug Collins, who I keep wanting to say, like my dad used to call him, Dougie Collins, back when he played.
Dougie Collins.
Yeah, that's right. Who, as a broadcaster, was one of my favorites as an analyst doing the NBA on NBC and the NBA on TNT. He's going to be the main studio analyst now. He's pretty much taking the place of Magic Johnson. And he'll be fine, and in fact, he's an upgrade for Magic Johnson, in my humble opinion, because Magic is obviously Simmons is a homer with the Celtics. He doesn't make that, you know, a secret. Just like Magic is a homer for the Lakers. He doesn't make that a secret.
Yeah, but you know what, man? Magic rips them apart, though, too, man.
He does, but, you know, Kobe's his main man.
Of course he has a soft spot for the Los Angeles Lakers. He played his whole career there. You know,
he had part ownership in the team.
Well, of course. You know,
well, I think also you have to look at it. Magic's got a lot going on, too, so I'm not crying over spilled milk for the Magic Hour.
No, I think it's a better move for Magic.
Exactly. And Bill Simmons,
dumbass.
Listen, his writings are pretty decent, but him on TV is awkward as heck.
I've liked Bill Simmons, I think, over the years as he gained popularity. I think it went way straight to his head.
Mm-hmm.
His head has ballooned up so big that it's floating off of his shoulders. And
I will grant you that, but it could be worse. He is not near Rick Riley levels.
Nobody's near Rick Riley levels. Rick Riley, you shouldn't even be in the business.
Stuart, by the way, you're going to mention that I put that tweet out first? Oh, my God.
You know, honestly, I think this is going to be a boring-ass show now, but that's just my opinion. I didn't think it was as exciting before. I think it might be a little worse, even though I do like Doris Burke. I just think that out of all the four that were on the set, Wilbon, Magic, Jalen Rose, Bill Simmons, I think Magic had the better personality of the four that people watching kind of soaked up. I you're not going to get that personality with Doug Collins. You're definitely not going to get it with Jalen Rose. You're definitely not going to get it with Bill Simmons. Would they add an extra name to this team now is the question.
They very easily could, and I wouldn't be surprised if they did.
You need a Kenny Smith. You need a Charles Barkley-type person. But
you need a chef.
I could do it.
Yeah. They're not going to – you know, it's funny. ESPN has had the NBA rights now for, I think, 10 or 11 years. And they've gone through changes in the studio about as often as you and I change our underwear. At least I hope you change your underwear very often. But they haven't even come close to competing. I mean, if you were to go on Wikipedia and take a look at the people who have done studio, it's a who's who of who, and I'm going to show some love to John Saunders because I thought he was a good host back in the day.
Yeah, back in the day. Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, it's never going to trump inside the NBA. Inside the NBA is the standard for sports studio broadcasting.
Mm.
Simply put, love EJ, even if he does look like Orville Redenbacher now, you know, with the bow ties. I mean, come on, man. Kenny and Charles, you can't fake that chemistry. You cannot fake that chemistry, and they've been the best in the business for over a decade. There's a reason for it. There's a reason for it. It is the show of – it is the inside stuff of – to put it in perspective for you, Mr. Raggett. The inside stuff, the great epicness of studio shows.
Yeah. But not even that, man. You know, like you said, Ernie Johnson. You know, they got Chris Webber coming on every once in a while.
Here's the thing: they actually have a host who can play traffic cop. There is no traffic cop on ESPN.
No, but not even that. To me, they all get along and they all can play devil's advocate against the other one's opinions without taking it personal. And you know, and they have a good time doing it, man. And like I said, that to me is why it's one of the best shows going, because you can meet them. Soak up the personalities. So.
That, plus the photoshops are legendary.
They're great, man. Oh, those are great.
Yeah.
They have fun, man. They have a good time. So
I can't wait till the first edition of Who He Play For this season. It's legendary.
It's coming, man. We're gonna be talking about NBA real soon, possibly starting next week. So
Brown Ball Rock, baby.
we go. All right, well, that's it for our show here. We hope everybody has a great, great weekend. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in at 1:30. Sorry we weren't here at your normal lunch hour, but we will be on Monday starting once again at 12 p.m. Eastern time. So enjoy your weekend. Best of luck to your NFL teams, and we'll see you Monday.
So long, everybody. I have nothing witty to say.